Boats are aligned. Attention.
The Way Enough podcast with Short and Snarky Rowing. We're your hosts and masters of ceremony. I'm Sam, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Kate.
Thanks for tuning in today. We've got a great guest on. We've got one of our local referees, Robin Kenny, is going to be joining us, and we'll have the privilege of talking with her and hearing about some highlights from being a referee and some lowlights, too, I think.
I'm sure that we'll hear tons of lowlights. So, Kate, I'd like to tell you about our news story today.
I hear it's a really good one.
It's great. So the Iowa caucus that happened, not too long ago, earlier in this month, there is a video that's out there, and it's during Ted Cruz's Iowa caucus speech, and he is just erging through it, not a care in the world.
Well, let's watch that video.
And we will have five left-wing judges who will order Ten Commandments monuments torn down all over this country.
I, for one, really hope that he has headphones in and he's not listening at all. And he just is like, I'm getting my workout on. And I don't care what any of you people say.
So if you haven't seen the video, it's Ted Cruz talking on the floor of this community center in Iowa. And there's probably about 300 people in folding chairs set up on the ground floor. And like a lot of community centers and gyms, there is a running track around the top of the building. And there are some ergs set up there. And there is a guy erging during this entire speech. So
absolutely.
While Ted Cruz is talking, lots of hot air coming out, the guy's erging the whole time.
Well, I like I said earlier, I for one really hope that he's wearing headphones and not paying attention. Because that'd be great. Because it'd be one thing if he just like was like, you know what, I really want to attend the speeches, but I also want to get my workout on. And he's like, oh, perfect, I'll do both. But I thought it'd be much funnier if he was just like, ugh, and he's just had his headphones in, he does not care. But the video is absolutely perfect, and yeah.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, there's 300 senior citizens that are watching Ted Cruz look pretty focused on him and not paying attention to the guy erging in the background. But
well,
it is,
I mean,
classic.
They probably. But what I love the most about it is that the title of it on row2k.com on their blog, which, by the way, they have the most amazing things on there. The title is Cruising to Victory.
Perfect.
I know. I was like, oh, play on words.
Right. So should we give Robin a call?
We're going to go ahead and we're going to give Robin a call.
Fantastic.
We have got Robin Kenny on the line. She is a U.S. rowing referee. Robin, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you guys?
We're doing wonderful.
Yeah, doing great.
So thanks so much for being on the air with us today. We just have a couple of questions for you.
Sure, sure.
So you also row, that's my understanding. So if you could just give us a background as to your rowing experience and all of that.
Sure. Well, I went to college at Ithaca College in New York, and that's where I started rowing my freshman year. I was never an athlete before that and decided I was going to give something a try and started rowing and fell in love with it right away. So I did 4 years at Ithaca, and then I moved home to Boston where I grew up, and I rowed and coached at CRI for several years before moving out to where I am now.
Oh, awesome. And how did you get into refereeing?
Well, I'm based in the Southwest, and there's definitely a need for referees in the Southwest. And I was showing up to some events just as a volunteer, and a couple of the referees said, we need to get you a blue shirt. And I said, that's okay. It's a hobby and it's a passion of mine, and because I don't row much anymore, it's a great way to stay involved with the sport.
Oh, absolutely.
That's great. Well, you know, one of the barriers, I think, for a lot of people in getting involved in refereeing is the expense. So how expensive really is it to do it, and do you have to pay a lot of your own travel?
You know what I mean? You do have to pay for travel unless you referee the national regattas, like youth nationals or club nationals. They'll pay for your airfare. What I try and do when I have to fly to an event is to fly to places where I have family or friends so I can kind of parlay a race into visiting, and then it makes me feel better about it.
Yeah.
You know, they do reimburse for the hotel room, which is great, and they give stipends, so I kind of pay attention to who has generous stipends.
Yeah.
But I just kind of consider it my expensive little hobby, and I'm very fortunate that I can do it.
Absolutely, that sounds really fun.
How long? What's the process? It's an exam, isn't it?
There is an exam. We always call it finding your dance card. You have to work several regattas and work several positions a couple of times before someone will sign off on you. You usually have a sponsor or a mentor, and they'll sign off on your card and say, yes, she's worked start, finish, chase races, blah, blah. And then you take the written exam. And that's your first step. That's when you are an assistant referee. And then later on, you have to be an assistant for several years before you get to take the test to become a full referee.
Oh, wow. So that's harder than getting your driver's license.
It is hard. And it's funny because one of the things that I found challenging is you take these written exams and you write down answers, kind of essay questions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get the test by saying, you passed, good job. But I would have loved to have received feedback on my answers because I don't know what I said right or wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're just kind of blindly like, I guess I got 100%, but maybe not.
That's what I always assume.
Right, and, you know, there are rules of rowing that need to be followed, but I think that a lot of people approach different situations differently.
Yeah.
So it would have been interesting to hear them say, well, you could have done it that way, but we would have preferred for you to approach the situation this way.
And that is a good segue into you could have done it that way, but we would have preferred that you did this way. What is a couple of your pet peeves as a referee that you wish that crews or rowers would do?
Rowers, pay attention to this because coxswains especially need to pay attention to this.
Yeah, pay attention right now if you're not listening.
And I will tell you that if a coxswain is not prepared for a race, it's not on the coxswain, it's on the coach. I get more annoyed with coaches who send coxswains out who have no idea what's going on. So more than anything, make sure that you have the conversations with them and they understand the commands that might come from a referee. A lot of times, one of my pet peeves is there's sometimes lack of urgency. If a referee is addressing your boat, chances are it's for a very good reason and you need to act quick. And there's just like delayed reaction that makes me crazy. The other thing that I love that makes me laugh, but I can't stand as well, is, you know, a coxswain going to the starting line and they do have a bow number in the little bow number holder, but they're like, what lane am I in? At least know what lane you're going to be in.
Yeah, just because,
Just to be prepared, but more than anything, coaches need to make sure that the coxswain is comfortable.
Absolutely.
And that's what we really found. Robin, have you seen a copy of the Short and Snarky Guide to Rowing yet?
I have not. Where can I find that?
You can. On Amazon.
Yeah, it is on Amazon. So we have we've written a book on coxing, and really one of the reasons we did it was for the same reason, is that a lot of coaches just really don't know how to prepare their coxswains, especially to race. And it's a stressful situation if you don't know what you're doing.
And honestly, I mean, there's a lot of coxswains that they don't know that they're supposed to ask the questions like, hey, how can I be more prepared? You know what I mean? Like, they just know, okay, I just go here and I steer the boat, you know?
It's true. And I do find also, I mean, I was reflecting on my days rowing in college and in clubs afterwards, and I had no idea what the rules of rowing were. No one ever said anything to us, and I was very aware that there were referees. So I think that a lot of novice coxswains out there, they don't know, if that start was not fair, raise your hand.
Yeah.
But a lot of folks just kind of look perplexed, and truthfully, a lot of reps just want to get the race going. So they're not going to be the advocate to say, raise your hand.
Yeah, just raise your hand. I think that we're going to make a T-shirt that says, just raise your hand.
Right. Just raise your hand. Well, and that's the other funny thing. You know, the rules of rowing had changed, so that technically we don't have to acknowledge hands that are up at the start.
Oh, okay.
And obviously, we're not going to start a race that is poorly aligned. And most of the time, coxswains have their hands up because they don't think they have a good point. But a lot of times, coxswains put their hands up as gamesmanship.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, I think that's the primary reason why they changed that rule. But still, it's like a habit. Mm-hmm. At the start line, you know, it's quiet, everyone's getting aligned, the countdown starts, and their hand goes up. Once the countdown starts, hands aren't acknowledged.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good thing to bring up.
So if you want, you know, that kind of segues into the next question. So what's the worst thing you've ever seen a coxswain do or a boat do during, you know, kind of in that marshalling area?
Well, and that practicing starts when it's really tight. And they're not paying attention to who's around them.
Oh, yeah,
that's
bad. That is
a really bad idea.
That's really bad.
If you do not have good open water in front of you, do not do a start.
Yeah, that's not a good time.
I was working Youth Nationals in Tennessee, and there was a horrible collision between the two boats that were in the men's final feet. Like, it was the biggest event of the day.
Oh, my God.
And one kid got completely injured. They ended up having to pull that boat. The other boat, which was the favorite boat to win, had to paddle to shore because they lost a skeg, and the coxswain got concussed. Like, it was a mess. And mostly because they're just not aware in the marshalling area, and they need to... They can't just rely on the referee who's the marshal to tell them what to do. They just need to use all senses at all time and common sense.
Yeah, common sense, absolutely. Oh, my God, that sounds... Ooh.
That sounds pretty gnarly.
Oh, and it was so funny because we were running on time. We're like, oh, my God, we're going to finish the regatta on time. This is great. The weather. And then, wah, wah.
Womp, womp. Yeah, oh, that was rough. Man.
Yeah.
Any other crazy things you've seen at regattas?
And it doesn't even have to be at the start line. It could be, like, maybe you heard somebody talking about something at the finish line, or...
No, I mean, I tell you, what's funny for me is, and I was in a situation, too, where I was coaching novices, and sending boats down that are rowing by sixes, or, you know, pairs, or whatever it is, just to get them down without having a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But that, as a spectator, like, what's going on? What's happening? And as a referee, I've gone up to boat, like, is everything okay? Yes, this is how we have to get down the line. Yeah,
yeah, you're like, no.
Funny stuff.
Row by all of you guys, please.
But I think the coach was like, you are going to go over. They'd rather have the boat set up.
Yep.
Like, you know, they're rowing squares, up by sixes squares down because they haven't learned a feather yet, but they just, you know, they're forced in a situation where they're supposed to race and they're not ready for it.
So what do you think some of the best tips you might have for coxswains and rowers, especially if people are bowing a blind boat, as far as, you know, kind of race etiquette and getting lined up?
I think mostly it is just listening to the referees who are trying to do the aligning, especially, you know, if they're stake boats, it's not as bad. But when it's, you know, a floating start, you got to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And just take a deep breath. Know that, you know, again, we're not going to start a race that isn't well aligned. If it's a buoyed race course, you should be fine. Once you get going, get your points and go for it. If it's not buoyed, trust it. If you're not exactly in your dedicated lane, we're going to keep an eye on you to make sure that you have your water. But you just have to stay in your water.
Right.
And if you see someone peripherally entering your water, make sure that it's not you entering their water, first of all, and just give a little heads up to them. But that's a lot of times that people lose track of where they are, so they think that they're the ones who are heading straight, and they're absolutely going diagonal.
Yeah, so you're just saying that common sense and communication is kind of the thing to just really, you know, communicate, like, hey, coxswain, I'm going to move, I'm going to do this, or, you know, blah, 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 like, just, you know, letting people know what you're doing and where you're going to be, that you're, you know, trying to get where you're supposed to be. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we always want safety first and then fairness.
Oh, absolutely.
But if you're in the middle of the race, that's where you have to start talking to each other. But just know, like, if you're in the middle of a race and you're switching lanes, if you're not going to hit anybody, we're not going to redirect you.
Absolutely.
It's not our job to make sure you get down the race course straight. So once you're clear, if there's open water or whatever, you can do whatever you want. Even the boat is in first place, if they feel like crossing over five lanes, have at it. If you're not going to bother anybody else,
yeah, if it's not going to bother anybody else, then, you know, go nuts. Absolutely.
That's true.
Yeah. But the other thing is that a lot of people, they get stuck at the, you know, the adrenaline at the start is so very high, and everyone is all revved up and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that a lot of times oars will tangle, and the referee's waiting for someone to raise their hand, and sometimes they don't, and then it's a bad start.
Yeah.
You know, they could have raised their hand to say, oh, we want to restart. And
yeah.
Don't.
So, and then can you give us kind of some of your funniest rowing moments or embarrassing rowing moments? It doesn't have to be with you. It could be with somebody else. We know that you're a picture of perfection, so maybe if you saw something else happen, that's hilarious.
And you know what? I have a great gift of totally forgetting everything embarrassing I've ever done. I have friends who will happily remind me, but I don't remember. I mean, I just think about, you know, boats where you're out for a long time and someone has to pee over the side of the boat, and you all have to lean to port, and she's sticking her butt over starboard.
Yeah.
That happens to everybody.
It happens to everybody.
And it does. You know, catching a crab in a seat race, that stuff, horrifying. Mm-hmm.
So have you seen anybody at the start line leaning out to go to the bathroom? Like in the...
I haven't yet.
No? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's your Christmas wish this year.
I know. I'm going to be on a mission for that.
Now, if you saw
it... Everyone has to pee at the start line, right? I mean, at the start line, everyone's like, God, I just want to get the train done so I can pee. It's pretty much everyone's state of mind.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Now, if you were at one of the race courses that doesn't allow, has the public urination ban. And I'm thinking of Lake Quinsigamond in Massachusetts as the probably the prominent example of that. As an official, are you obligated to disqualify a crew for peeing off the side of the boat?
I guess it really does depend on the situation and who the chief referee is. if there's not a lot of people around, if there's a way that they can do it discreetly and I could possibly block them or something, I'd probably be really nice about it. Probably yeah. would. But it really, I mean, if it's going to make them late to start, you know, that sort of thing, I probably couldn't help them out on.
I'm going to really hope that you're my referee the next time I have to pee before race.
Yeah, I'll know that you'll be lenient, absolutely.
I sound nice now because I do have a soft spot for the athletes. And I always want to make it good for the athletes.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It really is.
Absolutely. And I know that you do row.
To follow rules.
Yeah, I know you have to follow rules. So I know, last question for you, Robin. I know you have to get over to helping out your daughter. And so last question for you. Do you still have any of your medals from racing? And if you do, where do you keep them?
Yeah, I do still have my medals from racing. They're in a tin box where I keep my photos and photo albums. That's with a whole bunch of other kind of miscellaneous tokens of days past. And I also still have all of my t-shirts because I raced in a time where we would trade t-shirts. If you beat a crew, you got their shirt.
Oh, cool.
So I saved all of my winning t-shirts.
We hope that you've washed them, but
yes, they're all in a Tupperware. What do you call them? Like a storage box in my closet.
Oh, cool.
That's great.
Well,
yeah,
that's
I love that tradition.
That's it's a great tradition. It is. I wish really we could bring fun. It back.
You know, honestly, I have a lot of mine from days past, and one of the best things I finally did, I got sick of moving all these t-shirts every time I moved because they were all like extra, extra large size. So I got one of those t-shirt quilts made, which is pretty nerdy, but it is actually kind of cool.
No, it is not nerdy. I'm incredibly jealous. I've been wanting to try something like that.
It's actually a lot cheaper than you think. It's only costs maybe about, I think it was about $80. So
looks like we know what Robin's going to be doing this weekend.
I know. I'm going to be online looking for the best deal in t-shirt.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks so much, Robin, for joining us. We really enjoyed the conversation with you. We hope that you have a nice weekend, and we hope that you're our referee more often.
I hope so. I'll see you on the water.
Okay, all right. See you on the water.
Bye.
Thanks.
Well, that was great. I really love hearing about the referees because it's just insight into a world that I just never think about until race day.
Well, yeah, because you think that they're just being unfair because they're just telling you, like, oh, you're not in the right place at the right time, and coxswain, check your point, yeah, and all this stuff. And it's good to hear that, you know, there are some referees who have our best interest in mind. Like, she wants the athletes to have a good time, and that's what we're looking to do, is have fun and have a good time.
Yeah, I think a lot of them do, too. And, you know, most of the people that referee are former rowers.
Absolutely.
So it's not like you just randomly decide to be a U.S. rowing referee.
So there you guys have it. If you guys are going to be down at the start line, make sure that you don't practice starts down there. Make sure that you have a lot of open water out ahead of you. Make sure that you're rowing by all fours or all eights down to the start line. Don't row by sixes or by pairs.
And the best thing I heard Robin say is that really the worst thing that a coach can do is send an unprepared coxswain out
Absolutely.
In the water.
Absolutely. So make sure you guys know the questions that you need to ask in order to get down there from your coach. And
pick up a copy of the Short and Snarky Guide to Rowing. You can get it on Amazon.
Absolutely. And you know what? Don't be afraid to ask other coxswains. If you're a novice coxswain, or if you've been only coxswaining for a little bit and you don't know, like, hey, I'm kind of uncomfortable, I've never raced this course before, ask somebody else. Just be like, hey, what do I do down there? You know, like, you're not going to be annoying because they've been in your shoes.
And it's way more embarrassing not to ask a question at the coaches and coxswain meeting than to ask one.
Oh, absolutely. It's 5:00 in the morning. If they're aggravated with you, they're aggravated with anything. So make sure you guys ask the questions and also pick up your copy of our book on Amazon. And follow us at Short and Snarky Rowing or at Short and Snarky on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And we'll see you guys out on the water.
All right. See you next time. Last two strokes. That's 1, 2. Way enough. Let it run. Blades down.